you know, I'm gonna talk about building an ancestor altar, or you like create space to connect to your ancestors so you can live in their light instead of in their shadow. Meaning, when you honor your ancestors, when you talk to them, connect with them, lean on them, they can guide you. You can get the best parts of them. They get to just bless your life, help you, heal you, comfort you. But when you don't acknowledge them or learn about them or try to, at the very least, just create a space for them to be in your life, you really can live out whatever it was that they were working through.
Welcome to Cosmic RX Radio, a podcast that gives you real-life tools of spiritual empowerment and pure hype. I'm your host and intuitive guide, Maddie Murphy. I'll be serving up your weekly energy readings, cosmic boss interviews, and astro inspiration. Are you ready to love yourself more, manifest your dream life, and own your magic? Let's jump in.
Hello, my cosmic baddies, and welcome back to another episode of Cosmic RX Radio. Everything you need, your one-stop shop for all things cosmic empowerment. I am your guide, Maddie Murphy, just here holding your hand through this crazy thing called life. This is a cosmic coaching episode. So this is one of my solo episodes where I walk you through one empowerment coaching tool, concept, theme that is in alignment with the current zodiac season we're in. Essentially, the zodiac wheel is our wheel of empowerment that helps guide us through the revolution of the year and that helps fuel our personal evolution. So I'm going to be breaking down one of my favorite spiritual practices for Scorpio season, working with your ancestry, building ancestral connections. But also, this is great to use, even if it's not Scorpio season when you're listening to this. This is a part of your chart that you will feel so many blessings with. You will feel so much connection to, so much groundedness, so much support in that part of your chart. And honestly, well beyond it, you know, working with the ancestry connection. So if this is in your second house, is ruled by Scorpio, you might find that doing this brings you money, 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 honey. If you have your, you know, Scorpio rules your eighth house, you may find that it helps you really clear a lot of your shadows and get past some of your blocks and kind of go deeper into your own transformation journey. In your 10th house, working with your ancestors is probably going to help your career, your job, get that corner office, if people even care about that anymore. But that's just where you have Scorpio in your chart. It is a gift. And to really work with that gift, we recommend, you know, the Scorpio season tools. Last episode, we talked about shadow work, mindset, you know, magic of Scorpio season is being confronted with your shadows and all the icky parts of you and calling them back in. And then it's like, that's like going deep, deep in you. But Scorpio season is also about like leaning back and like relaxing your shoulders and letting yourself be held by all of the people who came before you, who love you and who sacrificed or did things in their life or came together with so much love or whatever it was, struggle. And like you came from that, like their stories are your stories, their medicine, their wisdom, like courses through your blood. And their deepest desire now is to see you live a life where you're free and relaxed and living in your truth. And it's the best way we can honor them is remembering them, speaking their names, connecting them, but also choosing to live a life of like radical authenticity. Okay, so does that sound good? Are we signed up for it? I'm going to do my mailbag, my Cosmic RX hotline question before this. To be honest, this is literally the simplest question. It's like a very straightforward answer. I'm choosing to do really simple questions or not at all during Scorpio season because the things I'm talking about, they're like pretty deep and wide and very scorpionic. And I'm just like, you know what? Let's just take the balance, you know, keep certain things on the shallow end so we can go deep, deep, deep with the coaching. So this was a question that I actually had on my Instagram DM. So this was not from the type form, but if you want to submit your question, you can go to the show notes. And so someone just asked me, like, what is the difference between a retrograde and a return? Help, I'm so confused. So thank you to this person for writing this, because this is a hopefully easy one for me to answer and probably be really helpful. I always think when you have a question, it means other people have a question too, right? So a return is just when a planet returns to the degree, to the exact spot in the sky that it was when it started, whatever the journey you're tracking, whatever the event you're tracking, whenever that started. So like in your birthday is a great example, is your solar return. Maybe you've heard people say that, like myself, astrologers wish people happy solar return. So it's like the sun, solar, is returning to the moment. A planet like traveled all through the zodiac and returned to the exact sign, the exact degree that it was the day you were born, okay? It's like a new cycle starting, the start of a new phase. So we hear this with Saturn return, is when Saturn returns to that degree, that sign. And some returns are yearly, such as the sun, Mercury, Venus. Some are monthly. You get a lunar return, which I think I've talked about here on the podcast. And then, you know, it begins a new revolution, a cosmic revolution, if you will. It begins that. And then a retrograde is a little different. Actually, it's a lot different. So a retrograde, again, some people say that it's going backwards. Okay, so it's not really going backwards. It's when a planet appears to be going backwards in its orbit if you're viewing it from Earth. So retrograde is like when a planet appears to be going the reverse direction. But again, optical illusion, it's not really. But it's more like it's backspinning in space, like frozen in that space, frozen, just not moving its normal forward trajectory. And in Earth, the fact that we're still going on our rotation, it really feels like then the other planet is going backwards. Like if you ever run a train and you both were at a standstill and then like your train starts to go, the train next to you can look like it's going backwards. Does that make sense? So yeah, this is a really like cool retrograde motion. It's not new, and both astrology and astronomy study it. It was definitely like an early mystery that confounded the ancient wise people who studied the stars. And of course, like, you know, now we have a lot of more ways to track it and talk about it. So we hear it a lot more, but it's not a new concept. It's old as time. And again, like during retrogrades, we may feel like the energy of that planet is thwarted, is dimmed, is like slowed down. And we're using that time to go back on something, to look back, to reflect, to sort something out, which is just kind of beautiful because I think, you know, humans, we tend to move fast. We're on to the next thing. So it's kind of cool that, you know, inherently built into the divine design of our universe are these chances to go back, okay? To look back and reflect and slow down. And also interesting, I kind of thought about this. I thought about this before, but not when I was reading the DM, but like, returns are also called a revolution, solar revolution. We call it a cosmic revolution. And then retrogrades are symbolized in a chart through the RX, looking almost like that prescription. So cosmic RX is kind of like retrograde, and cosmic revolution is kind of like the return. Does that make sense? That's wild. Okay. When we named our businesses and brands and our Instagram accounts that, we weren't even really thinking it from that perspective. But then one day I was like, oh, duh, wild. If astrology isn't real, then why did we accidentally name our astrological-based brands in complete alignment with astrological phenomena? So let's talk about ancestral connection, ancestral healing, how we do it, what it is, why we want to do it, and of course, like, what can you do to start? Why do we talk about this during Scorpio season? Well, this is the time of year, again, where we're in between, like, death and life. Things are dying away. And it's said that, you know, the veil is very thin. We have Dia de los Muertos is, I think, at least this year, it's November 1st into November 2nd. It's always the time, sorry. And then we have Samhain, which is more of a pagan festival holiday that has roots in Celtic, Gaelic origins, and where we really kind of celebrate both of these, you know, the common theme of them is that it like marks this end of the harvest season, the beginning of winter, the darker half of the year. But it's a time where the veil is thin, where you can really connect into the other side, where you can connect in to the liminal space, the spirit realm, the etheric realm. And of course, like, you know, All Saints Day happening around this time became All Souls Day, and then Halloween. And that's where we like kind of get this origin of this time of year for it, like very much rooted in kind of Scorpio season energy, which is funny. And these are just times of the year where, of course, like, we want to honor those who came before us, celebration of life and death, but it's also time to help like souls who have passed during that year, make sure they cross over, they have safe passage. And I think about it, really the beauty of these holidays, I always admired Dia de los Muertos, and like not just the Mexican version of Halloween, please, so much deeper than that, but really like this day to drop in, to remember where you came from and to honor and pay respect for deceased family members, to celebrate their lives and to remember that like you come from this long line of people who have your back and who want to be remembered and want to come back, like a day to reunite the living and the dead. And both Samhain and Dia de los Muertos talk about offerings and setting, you know, giving out food and putting out drink and doing these beautiful rituals that help us, again, offer, extend them, the people in your life who have passed, a way to, like, we see you, we feel you, we're hearing you, we hope you're hearing our prayers, come, have some food, have some drink, celebrate. And even though both of them may seem like heavy or dark, they're really not. They're like very celebratory. And to me, again, like I didn't grow up doing any of this at all. In fact, in my household, Halloween was kind of like demonized. It was just like we never were allowed to dress up as something scary. Absolutely not. Like no blood, no guts, no gore. And then as I got older, my mom, probably rightfully so, always felt very like, no, don't go during Halloween. That's when everyone gets a little crazy. It's unsafe. And all of that jazz. But a few years ago, I moved out to Montauk to start my business. And Montauk is a seasonal town. It's a beachy town. So in the fall and winter, I started like really dropping into living much more seasonally. That's where I really started working with the moon and paying attention to things, because I always lived in New York City. And New York City, like, yes, it gets colder. Yes, there's like snow and slush, but I don't know, the pace of New York City is always the same, whether it's July or January, kind of. There's always things to do, things to rush around with. And, you know, being in Montauk, one of these first few falls, I was like, yeah, I really feel this concept of like the veil being thin. I had had a lot of like messages come through synchronicities. I had some readings. I was working with this like amazing acupuncturist at the time. And I was just like, whoa, like I'm feeling that. And I got an email from someone, some company, being like, here's a, you know, a Samhain ritual that you can do at home. I have to find who it was. It was like, oh my God, some like priestess temple. I don't know. I have to look it up, go deep into my old email inbox. But I remember it's like, okay, like I could do this. Seems to kind of make sense. And I was starting to study more rituals and going deeper. And I was like, you know what? I really want to do this. I'm going to ask my sister to do it, because we had had a reading a few months prior with a medium who really connected us in. And this was kind of like, I guess I should back up, but there was kind of like a lot of, for about like 6 months, like I did an Akashic Record reading at my cousin's house. It was a big group reading. And the Akashic Record reader kept being like, someone is here for you. Like, his name's John. It was my paternal grandfather who I'd never met. But I was kind of like, why is he like here now? Like, we're in this big group, supposed to be doing something to honor like my mom's side of the family. And then he had a message, and then my other grandma had a message. And I was like, wow, it was like really beautiful, really resonant. And then, you know, flash forward to my one aunt gifted us like a reading with the medium. That's on having a Scorpio aunt and godmother. And during the same reading, the same grandpa came through, and he had so much to say. And it was really beautiful, and it was really healing, and it helped me understand so much of my life and my father's life. And it was really profound. And then again, I went to like another reading, and my other grandma would come through. And then I had this meditation, and like my grandpa like showed me this rocking chair and this word shaman above it. And I was like, what? And then I started studying about, like, I found out about Celtic shamans. I didn't even know that was a thing. Long story short, I also ended up going to a shaman school, Pampamasayo Shaman School, which was beautiful. It's like a multi-year program. You go super deep. It's super intentional. And the first day I'm there, like on the property, there's the guy who offered up his property. to the shaman school, and he had a little store out back, and, you know, just a place to get little shamanic ritual items, and that he like worked with Peruvian artisans to bring for us. And his name was John Murphy, which was my paternal grandpa's name. And even though that's like a very common sounding name, I had never met a John Murphy in my life before that. And I grew up in Long Island in Manhattan. So like to not run into a John Murphy that whole time is pretty weird. So I tell you this story because I'm like, okay, I guess my ancestors, my grandpa, who I never knew, is trying to get a hold of me. And like that was such a pivotal shift. I felt so held. And I had such a deeper understanding of like the masculine part of my lineage. And it just opened up so much to me. So we did the Samhain, got this email. I asked my sister, because she had been at the reading with me. I was like, do you want to do this? And she's like, yeah, okay. And so the person in the video guides us through a meditation. He gives us some instructions to set out a little like dumb supper, like use some food for them. And we put like a veil over our head and tuned in. And like we both just had the most, like I could cry thinking about this meditation and what came up and how I felt this like swelling of love around me. And this, like I kept hearing like clapping and cheering like at the end of a finish line of a race or something. And it forever changed me, that Samhain meditation. And then I just became on this like, you know, voracious journey to learn everything about my family and my ancestors. And I went and started asking everyone questions and doing ancestry.com and mapping things out, asking my dad questions and things I'd never talked about with him, and, you know, pulling out old photo albums and slides and asking my mom about things. And it was just, I can't describe it. It was like a missing piece of myself connecting into those roots. And also feeling that I had this whole like spiritual squad, this huge soul team with me, and they were so happy. It was like, oh my God, like finally, like you're letting us in, Maddie. We've been trying to get through to you. And then, you know, I could sit here all day and talk about the moments and dreams and meditations and visions and comfort I've received from them, but I will spare you that. But I will say that it helped me feel so much more myself and so much more held, and that things didn't have to be a struggle. I didn't have to do things on my own. And it helped me feel like I was honoring them and like this nourishment and this like cord of energy between us. That's like relationship. It was really beautiful. And it was something that was out of balance that I didn't even know was out of balance. And it also really made me appreciate my family and the elders. And at the time, my paternal grandmother was alive. And it just made me like appreciate my time with her. Like, oh my God, like you're here, you're a living ancestor. Like she passed away during COVID and she was 90, but it was like, you know, there's that time you get, I'll admit it, you know, like high school, college age, you get a little like, oh, I gotta go see grandma, call grandma, okay, cool little things to do. And then of course I started to appreciate her as an adult a little bit more. She was funny, her stories were great. But then like once I thought of her, like you're this connection now to this whole part of this life that happened before me. You know things about my grandfather. You know things about your mother. Like I have you right here as this like living source and this text. And I just was like, when I was with her, I felt so like I could just soak up her energy. So I'm just telling you, if you have someone in your life, grandparents, great aunts, great uncles, mothers, fathers that are older, ask them questions, like have them tell stories. That's probably my first step of like doing ancestral connection work is like, who are the living ancestors in your life and the people who hold the stories? And like, get excited, like go visit them, put on your voice memo recording and just ask them things like different, get curious, be like a journalist, you know, ask them why, you know, what was their favorite song? How did they meet their person? What were their fears, their hopes, their dreams? Like, what's their raunchy stories? Oh my God, my grandma had so many great stories. And so, it was so interesting to find out like she was really into astrology and all these things, but she wasn't allowed to like really advertise it. And Grandma Diane, amazing Sagittarius, just so funny and so optimistic and so, wow, like so much depth going on behind a really like bubbly kind of humorous exterior. So anyway, that's like the first thing I want to say about, like, I'm telling you all these stories because ancestral connection, I'm going to give you some instructions, but it's not exactly like, there's just some very basic steps, but really understanding the why of your doing it and how nourishing it is and how, again, it steps you step into a place of wholeness And one of my teachers always says, like, you know, I'm gonna talk about building an ancestor altar, or you like create space to connect to your ancestors so you can live in their light instead of in their shadow. Meaning, when you honor your ancestors, when you talk to them, connect with them, lean on them, they can guide you. You can get the best parts of them. They get to, like, you know, just bless your life, help you, heal you, comfort you. But when you don't acknowledge them or learn about them or try to, at the very least, just create a space for them to be in your life, you really can live out whatever it was that they were working through. And I also want to honor, like, there are many people who unfortunately will never get to know their ancestors for whatever reason. I know that this is something that I've dealt with my clients who, you know, parents passed away early and sort of their grandparents, or my clients who are adopted, or you are just completely cut off from their family, the earth family. So I just want to say that you can still connect into your ancestors. You really can. You might not have as much, like, black and white earth evidence of them or pictures of them or someone to corroborate certain things. But again, if you set that intention to open up to them, I guarantee, like, things will fall into place and they will find ways to reach out to you. Okay. So that's that. Let's talk a little bit about how we want to do the ancestral work, what this kind of means. In the monthly moon guide we have online, there's a whole ritual for Samhain. If you're more of like a visual person and you want to do your own ritual, it's all written out there. But I just want to say that everyone can do ancestral work. And I also want to honor that a lot of people have ancestral backgrounds that's really has been destroyed by, you know, colonialism, white supremacy. Obviously, like, whenever I work with clients who come from Africa, like, of course, so much of that culture and lineage was destroyed through slavery, slave trade. I don't know a better way of, like, I always think of, like, that fucking people who tried to take away all that culture and those roots, but it's still there, it still exists. And I know there are many people on Instagram and people who are really working on, like, the diaspora, like, coming back, bringing people back to their roots, connecting in, working with, like, African spirituality, traditions, food, clothing, garments, housewares, like, just as a way to connect back into that. So as an example, I just want to, like, honor that and make space, because you can't really have this conversation without acknowledging things like that. Hi, guys. It's me. Something happened with the audio, and I have my podcast manager, Alicia, who's amazing, let me know. It got a little wonky. So maybe that's one of your ancestors or my ancestors just letting us know they are here and they want to chat. But you know what's good? I was recording that. It was, I think, a Cancer moon evening. I was feeling a very, like, inward, and now it's Virgo moon, Scorpio Sunday, and I'm feeling a little bit more clear, bright. So I'm going to round out this episode now with some, again, answering some of your questions that I get about ancestor work, some tips of how to get started. And I'll even share a very simple ritual that you can do at the end. Okay. So apologies for the shift in energy, but here we go. The ancestors wanted to come through. That has never happened in the 9 months of podcasting. Nothing like that has happened to the audio in post-production. So let's see. Some things that I think I kind of know where I left off, but I just want to acknowledge before we start talking about how to do ancestor work, just some important pointers of how to do this work ethically and how to do it from a high integrity way and how to do it safely. First of all, ancestor work is like any relationship building, okay? We need boundaries. We need to have clear boundaries and consent, just like with your own family or people in your life. Just because you want a relationship with them doesn't mean that it's a free-for-all open house. You know, you have to maintain your own energy, set certain parameters of when you do and do not want to visit, get visits from your family members. And we'll talk about how to do that. But that's part of, like, knowing that helps, because some people, I think, are scared to connect with their ancestors, that it will be maybe like, okay, this is funny. One of my clients said, I want to connect with my ancestor, but I don't know if I want, like, my Mima watching me have sex. Okay, so fair enough. But, and also, like, some people, well, yeah, I want to connect with my ancestors, but I'm just kind of rebuilding things with my own family here on earth, and it's a lot. That's why we do this work. We do it intentionally. We set boundaries. We build altars. we also know that you have the power to say, okay, this is what I do and do not consent to. And this is my practice. And this is where I allow in ancestor energy. And when I want to, you know, through prayer, meditation, altar work, but you always have the right to have boundaries. So that's the first thing that I just want to lay out there. So that's just so we can keep the energy tight, spirit light. The second thing that I want to acknowledge, and I was touching upon it before, but not every ancestor of yours is love and light, bitch. So we gotta honor that for our own protection, but also for acknowledging we are doing healing work when we're doing ancestor work, and it's about healing us. Yes, it's about healing our family line 7 generations back. It's about healing the 7 generations that will come from you, but we also are in a moment of deep healing from a social, cultural standpoint. So we need to acknowledge that we go into this, that there are going to be abusive ancestors in our past. There are going to be toxic ancestors, and there are going to be the extremely, let's say, toxic with a capital T ancestors who may have contributed to the pain or oppression that marginalized people face today, especially if you are like me, if you're a whitey. We have to acknowledge that we met people in our family lines that built, promoted, or just stood by during some really, you know, just some colonizer shit happening, capitalistic, white supremacist, the nature of, especially in Western society, the nature of which a lot of our society was built upon, the foundation, we have to acknowledge that, you know, didn't just pop out of nowhere. And those people are someone's ancestors. So acknowledging that is important because we want to go into everything with deep awareness, radical responsibility, and just fully, you know, we don't want to spiritually bypass over our current experience, but also over our ancestor work. The good thing, again, is back to that boundary setting, is that we can really choose to ask to work with the ancestors who are here for our highest good. We can set that intention, and those are the only ancestors that can come through. Of course, one of my beliefs is when people pass over, they do realize all of the human hootenanny bullshit that they got entangled in, the power struggles, the fear, the racism, the sexism, the homophobia, the abuse. There has to be a moment of reckoning where they see that, and I think they're in deep pain from that. And I was actually in a psychic medium group in New York City for years. I don't think I touched upon this in the first part of my recording, but I'm repeating myself. But this group, every ancestor that came through, even if people in the circles were like, oh, my one aunt was such like a Baptist Bible thumper, and now I'm like this queer, like it was one person was this Black femme queer performance artist doing some pretty provocative work on the Lower East Side. And they were like, I do not want Aunt so-and-so here. And that's who came through. And we're like, is it okay? We made sure we set the boundary. And they're like, oh, I mean, okay. And, you know, they had some really beautiful messages from her, actually. But I also want to honor that that was in a really safe container. We had multiple, you know, space holders, professional mediums there, and they had been doing this work for a long time. So if you're new to this, again, you get to set the boundary back to the first point. We're doing a lot of healing. And I want to say that, you know, ancestral reverence is always open to you, even if you have no idea who your ancestors are. Part of the practice is just the searching of the journey, is the awareness, is the remembrance, is the aha of like, oh yeah, I'm not here randomly. I didn't just appear. I have this long line of people who came behind me, who got me here. There's these cool studies that people do on like family tree, is that 10 generations back, we have the potential for 1,024 ancestors. If we go back 40 generations, you have over 2 trillion ancestors, you know, based on, there's a lot of these cool family tree websites that they just kind of do that math. And again, like, it's not saying that we have to connect with all of them, but I would hope that out of 2 trillion people, there's one who wants to connect with you. But it's also remembering you have this big line of people behind you, and you get to walk, like, you have thousands of people who have your back, thousands of spirits, thousands of lives that had dreams and hopes and talents and strengths all their own and their own stories, and they are at your back holding you up, even if you didn't know them, even if you're not entirely sure of what their motives were. At least some of them are obviously there to hold you up in the highest of light. And again, your healing legacy is 7 generations back, 7 generations forward. So there's a beautiful understanding in that relationship that if you're there to fully acknowledge their life, their light, and their shadow, you are healing them in this quantum way, which is also, again, I'm not trying to love and light spiritually bypass over harm that our ancestors may have done, but also knowing that, knowing what they did, or at least acknowledging what might have happened and trying to make that better in this lifetime heals them too. And what a gift is that? I also want to just honor a question that I get from a lot of people of like, who can do ancestral work? What if I don't know my ancestors? I have clients who are adopted or clients who are descendant from enslaved peoples and people who lost so much of their culture or storytelling in the diaspora or for other events that were some sort of collective or familial, you know, trauma that was inflicted in them that caused their family history to be completely wiped out. So can those people still do ancestor work? What do you think my answer is going to be? Hell yes. Hell yes. And I'll tell you how to get started with that. And the effing amazing thing about ancestor work is every time you sit down to do it, every time you ask the question, every time you get curious, every time you try to heal something from your lineage, break a pattern, get more curious about where you came from, open up, you are becoming in that moment a better ancestor. And I love Layla F. Saad, one of her hashtags. I think her name of her podcast is Good Ancestor. And that's her work in the world that she's chosen to do. It's really centered on being a good ancestor. And, you know, she wrote Me and White Supremacy, and she's just such a brilliant mind, thought leader. And she's had to undergo some pretty scary shit, putting herself in the crossfires of some really negative, toxic, abusive attention. And she's like, I'm doing this work. It's not fun for me. Like, this is not fun, but I'm doing this work to be a good ancestor, a better ancestor. And I love that. So when you think about this work, if it seems daunting, overwhelming, you know, we're going back to our boundary setting, but we're also understanding how quantum this healing is and that you're doing it in this way to become maybe the good ancestor and to leave, you know, a better foundation for the generations that come from you. And again, even if you're choosing to not have children or procreate, I'm going to talk about this in a moment, our ancestry does go deeper and wider than just our blood, like the direct bloodline. So to the question of if you're interested in working with your ancestors and you're adopted, you don't have to have a physical connection with your birth family. You know, you can, of course, do research if you know anything about your cultural background. You can start there if you know that you are, if you're Eastern European or you are from Southeast Asia, you can connect into that first, your cultural background. That goes for all of us. And of course, you know, you can ask questions to connect into your birth parents and ask for signs and ways to be open to understanding who they were. And even seeing in yourself, what are the interests, talents, passions that kind of bubble up that you don't really know where they came from? You have you always been really drawn to horseback riding or something? And it's like you didn't grow up in an area where anyone did that. Get curious about that. A lot of our passions and things that they're pulling us, they're little nudges from something that lives like deep in us, you know, that epigenetic thing that we carry, the stories and experiences of those who came before us in our DNA, in every part of us. And then of course, just trusting. We're going to talk about some ritual work, oracle card pulling, tarot card pulling, whether you're adopted or just don't have any connections to anyone past your parents or even your grandparents. A lot of this work is being curious, being open, studying, and then just trusting your intuition. If you're feeling something is from someone in your line, just trusting that, honoring that. We might never get hard evidence, something like right there in black and white. But trust me, when you feel it, you know it. We're going to honor that. Again, ancestor work is also a deep practice of trusting, you know, your intuition, trusting the etheric part of life, trusting the things that happen in the liminal space that it's hard to describe to other people, but is so profoundly felt, it completely changes your life. And again, just want to note, you know, what if I don't know who any of my ancestors were, Maddie, completely started from scratch for whatever reason, everything I just said, and again, some of the ways of going deeper are going to apply to you, you know, studying culture, areas where you're from. But what's cool, if you just feel like you're like, wow, I really feel so foreign to my family, I can't even imagine connecting in. You also may have people who aren't like your mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, but you might have had aunts, uncles, people in your family who you may feel more connected to, great, great, great aunts. But of course, we also have communal cultural ancestors, okay? There are ancestors to social justice movements. There are ancestors to artistic traditions, ancestors to local communities. There are ancestors to the land that you live on and work with. And, you know, there are no limit to the ancestors you can connect to. And just recognize, just like before the boundaries, you always get to acknowledge who you want to let in, of course. I've had people that I've worked with or teachers that I've worked with who have worked with such beautiful ancestors from like that found family or chosen family, just like in Earth 3D realm. Sometimes we don't connect in with our family that we're born from, and we feel like our biology has betrayed us in some way. So we search for a chosen family, which we know the ties can be just as deep, if not deeper. And so some of my teachers have worked with, you know, Audre Lorde, Marsha P. Johnson, Sylvia Rivera, people who are, you know, did so much work at this communal level. And I love one of someone I used to work with used to pray to their guides, to their ancestors and their transcestors, and people in the trans community were like, yeah, like they were my ancestor. They opened up a path for me. They taught me things. They're with us now. So I just want to open up again that there's way beyond, you know, your family bloodline, way beyond what will show up on ancestry.com. You are held in so many ways, okay? The queer ancestors, the LGBTQ ancestors, you know, the community ancestors, the magical ancestors, the feminist ancestors, the neuroatypical ancestors, they're all there. They're all our birthright, okay? And honoring them is deep ancestral reverence work too, of course. So let me see. I'm just looking through my questions. I think those were basically the questions that I had from some of you, or just things that I've come up against in my past, acknowledging the questions people have before they get started. So now let's talk about how to get in. How do we start to dive in? So of course, where do I start? First of all, knowing your culture is a great way to know your ancestors. However you choose to work with your ancestors through some of like the rituals and self-care practices I'm going to mention, you should have a good understanding of the culture, again, of your ancestors, whether they're earth ancestors, community, spirit ancestors. And again, especially if you come from a very like mixed background, you may feel really connected to one part of that. You know, maybe you feel really connected to, you grew up and it's like, I feel really connected to the Irish Catholic part of myself. But I found out recently that like, actually there's some Ashkenazi Jewish lineage in my family that I never really knew about. And so understanding, you know, what makes up your culture. I've never done one of those 23andMe's and have heard like mixed thoughts about getting it done, but there is something for seeing your lineage. Like my life wizard, my husband did it, and we were like blown away by, you know, just what makes him up. It was really cool and it was really eye-opening for him. So if you're open to doing something like that, of course it helps. Again, if not, just studying, asking people in your family, especially like if you were raised in the traditions of one of your cultural backgrounds was really strong, looking at the other cultural backgrounds and studying, learning, reading books about that, reading stories, novels from that cultural background, cooking that food, figuring out, you know, what were their traditions of the holidays? How can you honor that? It's so nourishing. Talk about root chakra work. If you're working on your root chakra or abundance, security, safety work, this is so activating for that. So yeah, so understanding the customs and traditions of your heritage, folk customs, and again, this is a way where we can also really honor our own practices. I feel like so many of us, especially in Western society, our cultural has been really diluted. I mean, I'm speaking from like white people's perspectives. I remember growing up and just being like so, I don't know if jealous is the right word, but yeah, sure, I'll say it. I was just jealous of some of my best friend growing up was Indian, another one of my friends was Jewish, and another one of my friends her family was half, I don't know, like Italian or something, and then half Cuban. And those three friends in particular, I just remember they had so many cool traditions and like rituals and cool food they made. And they had family that visited from all over and spoke different things. And maybe it's my Sagittarius South, my Sagittarius stellium in my chart. I was like, oh my God, I want that. That's amazing. Like, that's so cool. And you do projects on your family background growing up. And I was like, we're like Irish, Czech, I think. I know a lot of us, our ancestors, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, maybe came to America and were really encouraged to like, oh, just fit in. Just, you know, white bread, mashed potatoes and roast beef, and just get that white picket fence and blend in. And of course, you know, the thing I want to say for all of our ancestors is, I mentioned it before, but like, we get to honor them by doing this work. We get to honor them. Like, a lot of them just were trying to survive, get by, create a better life for their families. And where we've arrived to now is we get to go in and do that deeper work, the soul level work, the emotional work, the spiritual work. So just getting curious and finding your own traditions, it really helps, again, the instinct of some culture, of some, you know, white people, is to grab other people's culture because we don't have a lot of our own. But I promise you, you have your own culture. Research. When I studied like Celtic shamanism, I was like, oh, this is so cool. This is so amazing. This is so what I feel in my blood. So many like pagan rituals from, you know, my ancestors in that part of the land just coursed through my blood, such deep remembrance. It was so profound. So I just encourage you, again, research. I guarantee you there's some cool treasures waiting for you there. And then now we can, you know, how do we begin to honor the ancestors? How do we like live in it, the embodiment, the rituals? So the first thing I like to say is create a place in your home designated to honor your ancestors. Some people like to include this in their altar they already have, and some people like to create a separate one. I personally like to have a separate ancestor altar. I have an altar, like my own altar. I have an abundance altar. My whole house is like little altars. But setting up a little, you know, it could be a shelf, it could be a table, it could be a windowsill, and like placing a cloth there and just bringing things in, a candle, bringing in things that help you feel like are physical tokens of a way to connect with them. Again, if you know anything about them, if you know what kind of favorite food they had or candy or a drink, you can leave it out for them there. If you knew that they love to knit, you can leave knitting needles there. You can add crystals, flowers, you can add like spices or herbs from, again, the cooking tradition that they used, keepsakes, heirlooms, family antiques. If you have something that was physically from an ancestor, amazing. If not, again, thinking about where they were from, a really beautiful way of honoring your ancestors, if you know they're from a place and you have the means to travel to that land, the sacred land of your roots, where they touched the soil, the wind that they felt on their face. Like, it's such an empowering, activating experience. I really want to do it. I haven't done it. I feel like I've done it because I've done it in my meditation so many times. And even just going to like where my, you know, grandma grew up, going back to like the home that my maternal grandparents lived in, I feel it. But I would love to be able to go to Ireland one day. My sister went and she said it was just a really powerful, wild experience. She actually said, she's like, we went to the town that my family was from, and everyone, she's like, everyone looked like grandma there. Like, everyone looked like the side, dad's side of the family. But I encourage that. And of course, if you do that and you can bring back anything from there, a little dirt from there. Oh my God, that just reminded me of like what we do in the shadows episode, but a little dirt, or if you have something from there, you're going to put on the altar, even better. I, again, was connecting a lot to my paternal grandfather and had nothing of his. I didn't even have a photo of him. So I went in, he was a cod fisherman. His family was a long line of cod fishermen from Newfoundland. And I just went to a bait and tackle store, you know, not blending in my like neon sequined ensemble I was probably wearing at the time, and was like, how does one catch a cod? What would one use to catch a cod around here? The guy's like, what? So he takes me to this, like a fishing weight. It had like this heavy thing on it. I had know nothing about like fishing vernacular vocabulary, so apologies. But it was this big, heavy silver thing with a hook on it. It was like sturdy. I was like, okay. This thing's pretty lethal looking. I like it. And at the time, I was having a whole thing with 8-8, and you can listen back to my Lionsgate episode. I was going this whole like legal battle with Starbucks and all this 8-8 energy that was going on. And of course, I go to checkout with this fishing weight to represent like my grandpa energy being with me. The grandpa who like set me on this whole path of like going deeper into my spirituality. And the number 88 was obviously engraved on this fishing, cod fishing lure. So it's so amazing when you open up this pathway to them. It's like starting a text message thread with someone. You're like, okay, now the lines of communication are open. And yeah, they're going to drop some funny things in there. They're going to drop some gifs from spirit in there. And you're going to laugh and you're going to be like, oh my God, this is so weird. But wow, they are really with me, like that 88 fishing, cod fishing lore. So again, you can also add offerings there to your ancestor altar. You can add tobacco, incense, food, candy, sweets, and really like keeping it maintained, looking after it. I love to like tidy mine at the new moon, full moon. It's a way of really respecting them and honoring them. And then the altar is like where you want to sit down and be like, this is our dedicated space for you to really connect in to me and tell me what you need me to work on and what do you want to show me. And this is what I want to tell you. It's like, again, that text message conversation. The altar is where you like sit down and make the phone call, where you curl up on the couch and really listen to them. But that way, like then, again, it's a dedicated space with boundaries. So that way you're not worried about like all day long, like receiving messages from them. If you're open to that, keep the text message thread open. But it's very different to have text messages all day versus trying to be on the phone all day with someone, right? The connection is so much more clear, more intentional, sitting there at the altar. Some other ways you can work with them, of course, like this kind of goes with the altar, but having a candle, I sit on the altar, like lighting that is a way to connect with them, especially like when you want to welcome them in and say like, I'm honoring your light and I want to live in your light and help heal and integrate anything from your shadow. And we know a lot of traditions have this thing of lighting a candle for someone that's passed, right? And there's a reason for it. It's a really beautiful ritual. Other ways to work with your ancestors, of course, is asking stories from your family, if anybody is living in your family. And, you know, again, I know there are various reasons, adoption, death, needing to consciously separate for your mental health and well-being. You might not be connected to your family, but if you are and you want to ask stories, record them. Like I said, you might have a genealogy-obsessed person in your family. You might have someone there to tell stories, ask them questions, record, get copies of old diaries. Just look through photos, look at them, ask questions. What's going on here? What's that? It's, again, it's a very beautiful way of opening up and connecting to your family, especially the elders in your family. You can also, sometimes you can even look in public records. You can go places like Ancestry.com and do some digging. I know many people who've gone in there within 5 minutes found birth certificates from someone in Italy or found a wedding license. And it's cool. Like there's a lot of free resources. That's even on the free account. They got that. But even a lot of like libraries, if anyone here's familiar with microfiche, there's a lot of like detailed genealogical records. I don't know if this is true, but someone told me the Mormon church keeps genealogical records for anyone that they can access. I don't get that. But if that's something, again, Googling that, just things to start. And of course, like connecting in, if you know something that your ancestors love to do back to the cultural background, something very physical, like working with your hands. If you know your ancestors came from a background where they, you know, made bread, just kneading that dough is a way of like, it's crazy what happens when you physically get in the embodiment of doing something like a muscle memory, this epigenetic muscle memory that comes back, you know, seeing what happens with that. And then also like doing woodworking or, you know, crocheting or knitting, doing something very physical is also just good for mental health, but again, a way of connecting with them. This is something I found a lot of people returning to, these crafts and these, I don't know what you call them, like skills or pastimes that came from their cultural background. Amazing. Another way to work with them is honestly just saying their name out loud. Of course, like when you light that candle, if you know any of whatever names you know, you can say their names, speak it out loud, and, you know, call on them. But even like just saying their names, telling their stories to other people, My family and I love that song Glorious by Macklemore. And it came out, or I found it at least, very much when I was like, kind of like just not deep in this ancestor work, but had been doing it for a little while, was like really feeling the effects of it in my life. And there's that one lyric of like, they said, you die twice. The first time I heard you die twice, I pull up lyrics, once when they bury you in the grave, and the second time is the last time that somebody mentions your name. Oh my God, I literally get choked up when I hear that line, because you're like, yeah, like just keep speaking the names of the ancestors of the ones you know. Again, same thing goes for your cultural ancestors. It's like speaking their name, telling their stories, keeping them alive. And just like how you'd want someone to do when you go, it's really, 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 again, simple, costs nothing, so powerful, so profound. So yeah, so in addition to all of that, again, connecting into like the folk energy of your people, I should have mentioned before, the doing something physical. And I touched on this, but I just want to reiterate, reading books from your culture of origin, connected in watching films, you know, experiencing art. These are all things very important. Art and storytelling is how that energy lives on. So experiencing that opens you up to so much of the nuance of your ancestral energy. You can also develop a dream practice to connect into your ancestors. You know, our human brains are very skeptical. They're very closed off. Our conscious minds are very like, I don't know if that was real that I saw that. But dream space energy is so much magic that we have to connect in to ourselves and heal old wounds. But it's also a time to like get messages and experience divination and find your way through the mystery of life and have our ancestors connect in. So again, you can set the intention and again, have a boundary. If you don't want to do this every night, please don't. It should only be once in a while, but you can say something, you can write something, put it under your pillow. I want to connect deeply with my ancient grandmothers. I want to connect deeply with the medicine people in my lineage. I ask for the guidance of my matrilineal side in overcoming this relationship pattern I keep repeating in my waking life, or even just will my ancestors make themselves known to me, or my ancestors show me something beautiful tonight, put that under pillow, maybe with a little amethyst, and you go to sleep. Again, right when you get up, I want you to write down anything you experience before you touch your phone, write it pen and paper the second you get up. This practice requires a little bit more patience, curiosity, intuitive development, and the discipline to like write down the things you experience and record them. But like over time, I guarantee you, there are really deep messages and really clear insight that will unfold. So the going on the pilgrimage I talked about, if it's possible for you, I really do recommend, I want to do this, go into the lands of your people. Like I said, drink the water, eat the food, dance their music, breathe in the air, touch the soil. That's a really powerful way of connecting to your ancestors. And like any way you can bring this ancestor energy into your five senses, into your everyday life. Again, just, you know, thinking about that, weaving it in, making it your own, making like mini rituals for yourself to embody, just to be like, yeah, like this is me. I am woven into a fabric that is so, a tapestry that is so beautiful and brilliant, and it's so much bigger than me. I'm a part of it, and I'm unique, and I'm holding myself in it, but I'm also like held by this much bigger energy. So just encouraging that, of course, working with tarot cards, oracle cards, is a great way to connect in if that's part of your practice. If you want to, you know, like, again, ask them more questions about themselves, asking them questions about like, what do they want to show you about them and how they want to work with you? I wouldn't, like in the beginning, I wouldn't ask them for direct advice through the oracle cards, because I like tarot oracle cards a lot. It's like self-development, storytelling. But just in case, your ancestral support in the beginning, if you're not sure who you're connecting into, just asking like who they are, revealing things, building that relationship. And then you can begin to maybe ask them for support or guidance through some spreads. And then of course, lastly, just meditation. We talked about with the altar, you know, oracle cards. These are just ways of getting quiet, like messages from ancestors and spirit in general comes across like little ripples in a lake, right? Very fine ripples. So if we're splashing and moving and grooving and we have a freaking jet ski in the water, we can't pick up on these subtle messages from spirit. You know, it's too much going on. So getting quiet, going within, allows yourself to really feel all these things in a way that I think has a bigger impact on us. With that, you know, a really simple ritual, like I said, going into that altar, making that space, just clearing the space for yourself. Even if you're not ready to build a whole ancestor altar, you can put down like some kind of cloth. I recommend having a glass of water or a bowl, a candle, and then just something that's like the intention to connect with the ancestors, even just writing that down on a piece of paper. You're clearing that space for yourself, laying it down, and then just as you do this, just like light this candle and just sit. See what wants to come up to you, okay? Is it like, do you want to hum? Do you want to sing? Do you want to listen? Do you want to move your body? And like some sort of prayer to call them in. You know, I heard one time, ancestors within me, wild and free, guide and protect me for eternity. Blessed ancestors, hear me this night. Grant me your love and healing light. Just something to call them in and welcome them into this space. Just saying, you know, I invite in the ancestors who are here for my highest good and highest integrity. And then, like I said, just listening what wants to come up, paying attention to it all, honoring everything, nothing that happens. If your ear starts ringing or, you know, something falls off of a shelf or your cat starts meowing, nothing is an accident here. Nothing's a coincidence. I also saw this amazing thing. If you don't, again, just calling them my ancestors of blood and spirit, my ancestors who lived and died well, thanking, you know, the ancestors who dwell in my bones. You don't have to know their names, but something like that, calling them in. And then when you're done, thanking them for showing up, thanking them for holding you, closing out that space. And then in that little altar, in that little cloth, leave it there. You know, you can, when you walk by it, you can say hi, you can blow them a kiss, you can leave some flowers there, leave some herbs, spices, tobacco, you could sprinkle some Florida water. That it just is a way of being like, I see you and I'm giving back, I'm feeding into this ritual, into this intention by remembering that you're here. Okay. So I hope this helps. I hope this makes sense. My husband turned me on to the movie Coco by Pixar. That is like, if you're new to this and you kind of want to understand the how we exist in the context of living legacies, watch that movie. I know it's a Pixar movie, but it's life-changing. Also, I loved when I watched, what was that movie called? Black Panther. When he has the scene, when he connects into his ancestors. This is, again, if you're like me and film and pop culture help you understand things a little bit better in real life terms, I recommend watching that for sure. So as a reminder, when you're doing this work, you are healing seven generations behind you, seven generations ahead of you. And it's such a gift. This journey is a path that's dedicated to the liberation and ascension of all beings, to bring everyone into freedom, into abundance. And I promise you, you are who your ancestors dreamed of. You are who your ancestors sang about. You living your most free, fulfilled, authentic life is their like wildest dream come true. You are their revolutionary prayer. You are their sacred gift. Even if you don't know them, use this time to get to know them. And then like my last thing I want to leave you with is the visualization, the reminder, like I said before, begin moving through this world with them behind you. Walk like you have those 1,000, 2 trillion ancestors walking right behind you, having your back. Okay. That's what I'm going to leave you on. Let me know how you like this episode. Sorry for all the glitches, but I think we made it work. Tag us if you want to make an ancestor altar or you find items from your ancestry, tag us at the Cosmic RX. We love to see it. We'll repost it. If you have something more private to share, a story to tell, a question, come find me at I Am Maddie Murphy. I love hearing from you and just, wrapping you in love as you move through the world, just being your ancestors' wildest dream come true. Mwah. Lots of love. Do you love getting your Cosmic RX for the week here and want more? Make sure to sign up for our premium subscription so you can get exclusive access to bonus podcast episodes all of my astrology info for the month ahead, and live new and full moon calls to help you manifest your dream life with an intentional international community of other cosmic baddies. Sign up through our link in show notes.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you want to know more about Cosmic RX, head on over to thecosmicrx.com. And if you really love this show, I'd love it if you left a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. I super love hearing from you and reading your reviews. All right, you cosmic baddie, tune in next week. And until then, remember, love yourself fully, work your magic, and take no shit.